devotional this morning, you'll recognize this text. It's our memory verse from this morning. Ephesians 6:13. Ephesians 6:13 reads, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Ephesians 6:13, I'll be taking that text and preaching on a message entitled, "Kick in the Pants." Brother Dave Baldusser, would you please pray? Amen. Thank you, brother. People always kind of, I feel it's kind of fruitful sometimes to share.
How do you get messages?
Sometimes, you know, you get them at work and whatever. This one I got at the kitchen table. I was sitting there with Bridget and Faith. And I said, "I'm preaching Sunday night. What do you think people need?" And Faith immediately answered, "A kick in the pants." And she didn't say whether she thought it was me that needed a kick in the pants or her siblings, or somebody else at school, or whatever. She just said people need a kick in the pants, and she didn't really elaborate. I said, okay, mark it down. Kick in the pants. That's what people need. 1 Timothy 5:14 reads, "I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." I really want to key on the second part of that verse there. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Why? What does the adversary do all the time? Accuse. So you trip up a little bit, you slip sideways a little bit. You think he's going to let you forget that? No. It's a whole lot easier to get forgiveness from God than it is to get the devil to shut up and leave you alone about something that God already has forgiven you for. If he comes around telling you something, say, "Lord, I rebuke that joker. Take care of him, please." And if you have to, speak to the devil. Now I knew a brother one time, he was rebuking the devil. He was standing in the line at the convenience store, like a 7-Eleven. And there was a woman behind him who looked like he was in kind of a rough part of town. She looked like she might have been a woman of ill repute, perhaps a professional of some kind. And some thought came to his mind, and he rebuked the devil. "Satan, get thee behind me!" And he said it out loud. And then he realized everybody was. He turned and looked, and the lady's eyes were like that big. She wasn't the devil, but she thought I was calling her the devil, I think. But you know what? If you will stand and rebuke the devil, guess what? He will flee every single time. Be careful, though, in what context you do, because sometimes people might not quite realize. Is that guy praying to the devil? What's he doing? Kicking the pants! Acts 27 tells us of a mighty wind. It's called Euroclydon, and I don't know, maybe that's like a local current or something in the Mediterranean. I really don't know. But they called this wind Euroclydon. It brings to mind Acts 27:15, it says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Why? Wind-driven ship, mighty wind, what could they do? Let it go. Keep it steered the right way so it don't roll. That's really all you can do. But I had an experience in my life. I served in the United States Marine Corps and spent 7 or 8 months at sea, aboard this old ship called the USS Tripoli. The USS Tripoli was affectionately known by those of us who lived on it as the Cripoli, because in Vietnam it was struck by a missile, and then during the Gulf War it struck a sea mine. In both cases, it blew away about 6 decks of steel, and the Navy's patch job was just to repair the hull. They didn't replace all the steel that got blown away by these explosions. So when you were on the ship, it had about a 6-degree list to one side. So typically on a ship, in the center of the each little compartment, there's a little floor drain. But if you ever spilled water on the floor of a compartment in the Tripoli, it would all roll to one side. You could have to push it, try to get it in the drain. It wouldn't work. We called it the Tripoli. I understand other ships in our group could see the 6-degree list on the flight deck from quite a distance. However, we were in the Pacific, and the captain of the ship, he got word there was a big storm coming. Now, in the Western Hemisphere, they're called hurricanes. In the Eastern Hemisphere, they're called typhoons. It was a big storm. I'm not sure if it was classified as a typhoon, but it was something where the commander of the ship had to make a decision. Not being a wind-driven vessel, his decision was to drive into the storm as it was building. And it was quite a ride. But then all of a sudden, dead calm. And they opened up the hangar bay so you could go up the hangar bay doors so you could go in and see out either side of the ship. And the air was perfectly placid. And all the way around in every direction you could see the massive towering thunderheads, and you could see lightning nearly nonstop striking the water. I didn't even know lightning struck the water until I saw it happen. It's quite a sight. And you could look straight up, and you could see the stars. And all around us was the storm, and the water was perfectly flat, like bath water. I thought, wow, this is an experience I'll never forget. But often what happens with people is they see the storm coming. And rather than pushing in to God, they try to run before the storm. And instead of evading the storm, they just get pushed around harder and harder and harder because they're staying right there where the storm is fiercest. We are empowered. We are not wind-driven vessels. We are not to be tossed and turned and pushed by the circumstances of our lives. When things look bad, it's time to press in. Get in. To the center. There is a place in Christ where the adversary cannot come. And there you will find peace in the worst circumstances. I'm going to read to you Hebrews 12. This morning I was in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 11 is called what? Does anybody remember? The faith chapter. All of the great roll call of heroes. And it's quite a read. Hebrews 12 immediately follows that. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days they chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount which that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of men, just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And yet we tend to settle into a rut, a place, treading water, going through the motions, going through the routine. Where do we lose that passion? Yes, I know God. And you don't find Him exciting? How could you not find Him exciting? Romans 8, 34 through 39, and I'm preaching about a kick in the pants. Who needs it? I don't know. Perhaps it's me. I don't know. I really don't. I didn't inquire who needed the kick in the pants, either from the Lord or from my daughter. But kick in the pants! Romans 8, 34 through 39. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Why are you worried about tomorrow? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's that place I'm talking about earlier. That eye of the storm. You can see the storm coming. Don't flee. Don't run. Don't stay in the midst of the storm. Not where it's rough and where it's violent. Press in. Get in Christ. And be certain that you cannot be moved from Him. And when you have that confidence, you'll have that peace, that calm, that clarity of thought and action, clarity of action as well. Psalm 109, 30 through 31. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. For He shall stand at the right hand of the poor. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. To save him from those that would condemn his soul. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him in church only. Oh, no, wait, wait, wait. I will praise him amongst only people I know are not offended by Christian praises and worship. It says among the multitude. Perhaps it's okay to praise the Lord wherever you are. Perhaps especially when there are people who perhaps are offended by it. I think I related a couple weeks ago in Sunday school about one of my coworkers. She said she professed that she was an atheist, and I put my hand in her face and said, she doesn't exist. I don't believe in her. kind of troubled her a little bit. And she said something to the effect that, well, you know, you say that you know God. I have to question your sanity or something. And I kind of let it go. And the next couple of days I saw her again and I said, you know, if I denied that I knew you, I'd be lying, because I know you. I have a relationship with you. She knew where I was going immediately. I said, if I denied that I know God, I would be likewise lying. She said, we'll talk about this later. She's kind of avoided me since. Maybe. Something's troubling her heart. I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. You ever feel poor? I do. I don't mean physically, materially, financially. I mean, you ever feel, oh man, how did I mess that up so bad? Wow, that was rough. Wow, that was really hard. When you're poor in spirit, that's when the Heavenly Father will come up to you, put His arm around you, sometimes a little lower. He needs to give you a kick in the pants. But He's there with you when you're poor, when you're weak, when you're troubled. He's your Heavenly Father, and He loves you. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? This is Isaiah 40. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he, is strong in power, not one faileth. Who sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 31. What excuse do we have to settle down?
To get quiet. I don't mean that you're not to be constantly agitated. But where do we get to that place where our consuming fire, our God, just kind of becomes a pacifier? Huh?
Kicking the pants! And I'm getting close to wrapping up. Wow, that's really quick, brother! Kicking the pants! I'm reminded of this old Saturday Night Live skit. You ever hear the boot to the head one, brother? This little bitty old guy.
Who disturbeth my peace as the pebble disturbeth the waters of the pond?
And there's a bunch of young kids, and there's this little old wizened kung fu guy. There's six of us and just one of you! Let's get him! So they all rush this little wizened old little dude, and you hear, boot to the head, thump, boot to the head, thump, boom. He was the master. The kick in the pants is swift and sure and brief. And hopefully it'll get your attention. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The word of their testimony. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Your testimony isn't just when you get up in church on Sunday night. Your testimony is before your family. Your testimony is before your co-workers. Your testimony is before your classmates or teammates or co-workers. Boy, Nathan's awful gruff today. Wonder what's bothering him. That's a testimony. Why is Nate always smiling? That's a testimony. Nathan's awful quiet today. Something must be troubling him. That's a testimony. Nate came over and asked me if there was anything he could do for me today. He asked if I was troubled. That's a testimony. It's a great thing to stand and testify in church and before the congregation. But your testimony is so much more than that. We have to be careful of our testimony. Kicking the pants. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I've preached it many times. We cast our care because Jesus loves us. But it's not just that. What does it say? It says Jesus cares for us like a shepherd.
He cares for us. He takes care of us, not just caring about us.
When you're troubled, when you're burdened down, when you're overloaded, don't let it drag you down. Cast it upon Jesus. Not just because He loves us, because His infinite wisdom, His power and grace and glory and mercy is so much greater than our problems. And He diligently, wisely, dutifully cares for us. Not just about us. You've all seen the bumper sticker? Jesus loves you. Everyone else thinks you're...
Kick in the pants. And I'm closing with this. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
You've heard of Romans Road? Anyone lead a sinner down Romans Road? Guess what? Romans 10:10 isn't just for sinners seeking salvation. It's for anybody who needs salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You're troubled.
My Lord shall deliver me from this. That's a confession. My Lord will bless me. That's a confession. My Lord will see me safely through this to the other side. That's a confession. My Lord is able with a strong hand to deliver me out of every temptation. That's a confession. My Lord is able to restore the relationship, the broken relationships of my life. That's a confession. My God is mighty. He is able. That's a confession. Whatever it is that you need, confess it in the Lord. And then perhaps you won't need a kick in the pants.
Pastor.